From the home of the Packers, a look at the game through the players' eyes. This is Inside Lambeau.
Hello, everybody. I'm your host of Inside Lambeau. My name is Rod Burks alongside C.J. Wilson. Thank you for joining us. Great to see you, my friend. Good to do some television with you. Now, let's talk about the play that everybody is talking about. Of course, the Packers coming off a tough loss to Seattle Seahawks, 14-12. Very controversial, I might add, on that last play. Where were you when that last play happened, and what was going through your mind when it all ended?
Well, I was standing on the sideline, you know, and just waiting to see what was going to happen, you know, because you know this is a Hail Mary. We practice it every day since I've been in college all the way to, you know, last week.
You know what's coming.
You know what's coming. We practice every week for, you know, the victory play, you know, the last play of the game, you know, if they down and throw the Hail Mary play. And when it happened, I'm standing on the sideline just like in disbelief when I saw the referees, you know.
You look at the play, there's five Packers there to only two Seahawks.
Yeah, when he threw the quarterback threw the ball, I just knew that we had caught the interception because I clearly saw, you know, MD come down with the ball, and then when he put the touchdown, you know, gave him a touchdown, it was just really complete.
Well, actually, there was two signals. One guy was doing a touchdown, the other guy was, so obviously the officials didn't know what they wanted to call.
Well, I saw the touchdown, so I was like, no way. But you know, I thought they would give it to him then to go back and, you know, when they do the the review. I thought we'd have overturned it, but it didn't.
But when you take a look at that play, MD Jennings, there it is right there. MD Jennings comes down with this ball. He's got it up against his chest. So there's no way these guys can get it done. Look, MG's got it. Tate tries to get one arm in there. So there it is in slow motion. Five Packers around that ball. And Golden Tate pushed Jared Bush out of the way, which should have been a penalty.
As you can see, everybody in America saw this. And, you know, it's just sad that what happened. But, you know, nothing you can do about it.
And then when you walked off that field, and I mean, I was there on that field, the guys were upset. Guys were saying some things that I'm sure they wouldn't want to regret. There was a little pushing and shoving. Mm. For you to walk off that field and to know that you potentially got cheated out of a win, as a player, what goes through your mind emotionally?
A lot of things go through your mind. Mostly just really angry, you know, at, you know, what just happened. Angry at everything, you know, and all you can do is just like hope for the best. But, you know, accept what happened. And so, a lot of guys was just really upset, and we just try to calm each other down and say, you know what, let coach take care of it.
You think that call would have been a little bit different if it hadn't, the game wasn't played in Seattle, it was played in Green Bay? How much did it help that it was a home game for them? And officials like, well, there's 73,000. We've been messing up all 3 weeks since we've been at this spot. There's no way we can turn this thing over.
I got asked that question many times, and I think that you know, it would probably been a difference, you know, if we was home, you know. Maybe, you know, gave us the interception. But, you know, we can't, you know, crowd was spilt milk. All we can do is just move forward to New Orleans in 4 days.
And then take us in that locker room right after the game. I mean, guys were pretty upset. They were, I mean, you know, they had to go ahead and bring some more 11 guys out to go ahead and try to do the extra point. How upset and emotional was that locker room as a whole?
Well, I never experienced being in a locker room after a play like this.
And there you are watching
that. I just never experienced this. And everybody was just in disbelief, you know, and upset, very upset.
And you felt that you guys got cheated out of a ball game. What was Mike McCarthy's message to you when he came in after the extra point, after where everybody felt that you got cheated? What was his message to you as a team?
That we wanted to be better, you know what I'm saying? We wanted to keep our head up, walk out, you know, not drop our heads and just be above, you know, all the drama was going on. He wanted us to be, you know, just keep our head up and just be above all of it.
But there were some tears in that locker room.
Oh, most definitely, you know. It was just a bad call, and, you know, we just, emotions was flying, and we just had to just go with what coach told us to keep up, be above it all.
All right, he's C.J. Wilson, and I'm Rod Burks. We'll have more with this big fella coming up after the break. And welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, alongside the big fella, C.J. Wilson, the seventh round draft pick that the Packers picked up. Let's talk about defense in Seattle. Okay, you guys pretty much stayed. It was a hard, grinding fight against the Seahawks. How do you think you guys played as a unit?
I think we did well, very well, you know. I think we stuck to our game plan going into Seattle, and we just fought through all the adversities we hit, and we just played. I think we played a great overall on defense.
What about chasing down that guy right there, Russell Wilson, who went out there and beat out Matt Flynn? First of all, are you surprised that he beat out Matt Flynn? Because, you know, Matt Flynn, when he got his opportunity, he played well here in Green Bay.
Oh, yes. Matt Flynn, I was very surprised to see that, you know, being that he's a rookie quarterback and Matt been in the league for a while. But, you know, I know I take my hat off to Russell Wilson because he's a great athlete, a great quarterback, and he's going to be a great player in this league. But as far as chasing him, you know, he's very, very fast. I got an opportunity to play with him in college again when he was in NC State. And he's quick Danny, quick now.
What do you remember about him playing him against him in college?
It's the same thing. He's a guy that plays hard, and he definitely do good with the ball. He's really well with the ball and just really fast.
Yeah. And how tough is it to bring down somebody like Marshawn Lynch, who likes to kick it into beast mode when he's out there on that football field?
You know, yesterday when I tackled this guy, that's probably the first time in my career I had to say, you know what, this is a strong back. You know, I grab his leg and I'm trying to bring him down. This guy is pulling me a little bit. I'm like, oh, this guy is pretty strong, you know. But he was a great player, a great player. And I think, you know, I take our hat off to Marshawn. But I think we did a great job on defense.
Yeah, but they did neutralize Clay Matthews. I mean, they had two couple guys on him. I mean, your defensive line, how well do you think they played? Good to see Perry get a sack, too, mm-hmm. as well.
Well, when you playing against a guy like Clay, you have to adjust your game plan for a guy like him because he's obviously, you know, one of our greatest players on defense. And, we're grateful for, Nick Perry this year, and good to see him about a sack, you know, yesterday. And but, you know, he came on strong, and, you know, when you double-team Clay, you know, somebody's going to freeze up other opportunities for other guys.
So some of the Packer fans want to know if you're going to get a sack. I mean, I know you stopped the run, but, yeah. I mean, you want to be able to celebrate and get that sack. Do you want a sack, or do you got a dance ready?
Oh, man, you know, I'm ready for both. I got a dance ready. It's not Daraji, but or Clay's dance, but you know, if I get a sack, I'll definitely do a showboat.
Yeah, you got the Saints coming in town. How important is this game? They're struggling at 0-3. They need to win bad. Mm-hmm. And then you guys got hurt. You kind of coming in with a little bit of a hurt ego after the way you got kind of cheated out of that game. What are you expecting on you guys, and how do you have to turn this thing around and play well against the Saints, who, you know, their offense is pretty good, even though they're struggling?
You know, their record doesn't, you know, account for how good this team is. You know, they really are. You know, a great team, and we know this, and they're coming in and this week to Sunday, and we're going to be ready for them, you know, and all the negative energy, I think we're going to turn it for positive this week. And I think the guys are really focused. We're dedicated to this game, and we put all that Seattle behind us, and we're ready.
What about Drew Brees? He's pretty tough out there, huh? I mean, he's got the big contract, but he plays big on game day.
Oh, he's top five quarterbacks in the league, and he's a great player, so we definitely got a challenge for us this week.
Yeah, in about 20 seconds, you surprised your offense is struggling just a little bit? I mean, just not hitting in all cylinders yet?
You know, you know what? I can't really comment on offense, but I just know that they're gonna get it right for this week. They'll be ready.
Because Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the league, and it's just gonna be a matter of time. I think teams are just kind of playing you guys a little different. All right, he's CJ Wilson coming up. In the second segment, we're going to talk about one of his passions that he likes to do other than football. And you know what's coming, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I know. I can imagine.
All right, we'll see you back here after. All right. Welcome back to Inside Lambo. This is the big fella, CJ Wilson, bringing the pipes to the show for our last segment. Talk about when you were on that defensive line and making that perfect tackle. When you really feel you really got somebody. Do you hear the guy kind of squirt? I mean, talk about the perfect tackle and what it feels like.
I guess the perfect tackle for a defensive lineman is you're always going to be engaged with a block. But when you, I guess, disengage the block, come off a block and make a tackle, that's like one of the perfect tackles you can make as a defensive lineman.
You guys do a lot of dirty work in the trenches, right? Like, Clay gets all the love, and you guys are in there fighting. Tell us what your job is about on Sundays.
You know what? Our job is really, I guess you could say, in the background, but we do a lot for our defense. And, you know, with guys holding off with the offensive linemen and every play taking the hit, double teams. But you got to love to do it, and I love doing it, you know. I love doing it, long doing my job.
So guys like you and BJ Roger, you don't get the love, right? You're just in the trenches just fighting.
Much. We talk about it all the time, man. You don't get too much love, but it's what you do.
Speaking of what you do, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody at home, he's a pretty big guy. I bet you a lot of people don't know that one of your passions is playing the piano. First of all, mm-hmm. where did you get that from? When did you start? And second of all, how do you get those big hands on the keys?
You know, actually, it's a funny story. I started when I was two. My mother started, we had a broken down piano in our house. My mother used to show us, you know, how to play, like, tunes. And she would sing a song like Mary Had a Little Lamb and actually to follow her along. Right. And I learned how to play like that. And she did it every day when I was 2 or 3 years old. Before I got to when I was about 4, I really knew how to play with one finger.
With one finger.
Yeah.
And she said, follow the music. Mm-hmm. How does she mean by that? What did she mean by that?
She would hum it real slow, and you had to follow it on the piano. And then once you keep doing it over and over, you eventually learn the pattern. It's all patterns. And then once you get it, you got it. You never forget it.
Let's talk about that magical night before the Super Bowl when you got on the ivory and you rocked your teammates where they were singing and dancing and everybody was just, take us back to that moment, how special that was for you. And were you a little nervous playing for some of the stars on your football team?
No, you know, it was funny because I guess I wasn't really expecting for it to be a blow up like it did, you know. It was just out there, the piano was right there outside the meeting room and the guys were sitting out waiting for going to the meeting. I was up there playing and guys got around, play this song. So play this song, and then started playing some old church hymns. And you know, being that my dad's a minister and Greg Jennings' dad's a minister, and a lot of guys on his team was Christian guys, really enjoyed it. You know, because it took them back to when they was in church growing up. And it was just a great time to forget about everything in life, the game and everything, just have a great time.
Heard Aaron Rodgers was taking pictures. All the guys as a team was coming up. Guys were dancing and singing. Did that loosen you guys up for the Super Bowl? And were you a little nervous on the ivory?
I don't get nervous in front of my teammates.
Between you and me.
No, I wasn't nervous in front of my teammates because, you know, we guys, we family hang out every day. And it was something we do all the time, you know. And it was just something, you know, a great moment for our team. And I'm glad I was a part of it.
And how proud of you that your mom was able to teach you something like that.
Oh, very proud. And she laughed about it all the time. She's actually teaching my little nephews now.
Now, do you play the piano because you love it or do you play it to impress the ladies?
I would say both. But mostly because I love it. Mostly because I love to do it.
All right. He's CJ Wilson, and I'm Rod Burks. Coming up in our next segment, we will have Tyler Dunn from the Journal Sentinel. See you back here.
Backpedals to the 40. Looking, still waiting. Here as he lets it go into the left side of the end zone for a jump ball. And is it caught in the end zone? Touchdown!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
My goodness!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Inside Lambeau. We've seen that play over and over since it happened on Monday night. I'm joined by Tyler Dunn of the Journal Sentinel. You were in Seattle. I was in Seattle. Have you ever seen so much chaos after a football game?
And that's the word of the game, chaos. I mean, Mike McCarthy talked about that this week. There was really no clarity given to him, given to the other team. He looked at the other sideline and saw Seattle players really unsure themselves. So, I mean, one official says it's an interception. One says it's a touchdown. Complete chaos from that moment there to the moment inside the locker room when the players saw for themselves just how controversial this was.
Let's be real. The NFL, I mean, that was an interception. MD Jennings made that interception. And, you know, Golden Tate got one arm in there, and it was just chaos. Yeah. One referee signaling this, and the other one saying touchdown. I mean, I don't think they knew what they were going to call.
Yeah, I think it's just the prime example of really how the replacement officials have gone about their business for 3 weeks here. They're hesitant. They're unsure. And it just this was the impetus for that. This was the moment where maybe it's the breaking point. Maybe this is the play, the game that really incites change because a team lost a game on a call made by replacement officials.
You got 5 Packers there and only 2 Seattle Seahawks. Take a look at this play. And clearly MG Jennings has that ball up against his chest. You know, Tate's trying to wrestle for it. I mean, just a really bad call. But how much did it help maybe the league that it happened on Monday night and so many millions and millions of people saw that play where the refs made a mistake?
It's a primetime game. Everybody's watching. And really, instantly after the game, Twitter explodes. I mean, you have players commenting. You have LeBron James weighing in, and Barack Obama one day later weighed in. This is the digital age, the social media age, and the fact, like you said, it was on prime time. I mean, as we're taping this, nothing was final. They're still in talks. But I just can't imagine replacement refs being around that much longer after that game.
And this is how wild it was. They had to go ahead and get some more players out of the Packers locker room to go ahead and kick the extra point. I mean, how wild is that?
It was crazy. I mean, MD Jennings, we're standing in the tunnel just kind of waiting for interviews. MD Jennings runs into the tunnel. He can't find his helmet. He's digging through multiple bins looking for his helmet. Finally finds it, gets back onto the field for the extra point. Complete chaos.
Yeah, and a little pushing and shoving at the end of the game. do you really, I mean, don't you think that this was supposed to happen mm-hmm. on the national stage like that to help get a deal done for to bring the other officials back? And how much will the players really respect these new guys right. when they come back? Because these guys couldn't handle it. They couldn't keep the chaos even during the game.
Exactly. And it's not one isolated incident. Now, this is the play that everybody's seen over and over again. But during the course of this game, you had a phantom roughing the passer on Eric Walden. You had the defensive pass interference on Sam Shields. On the other end, that really wasn't a pass interference call on Jermichael Finley, a big play for Green Bay. So both sides, every game, you're seeing the same thing. I think there has to be change after this.
I mean, the replacement refs, to me, they seem like they just don't have the confidence to make the calls.
Right.
They're scared to make the calls. Some of the players are bullying these guys, and it's not really their fault. It's the league's fault that they put them out there because they're not ready to call a game like this.
I don't know if you can blame Division II, Division III, junior college officials for this. They were really put in a tough spot here. Inside the locker room, after players saw that replay, there was one player who just shouted out loud, you know, they don't bleep and want to make that call because they're afraid they're going to get killed. I mean, you got 70,000 fans on top of you. You reverse that call, and you're a D2, a D3, a junior college official. I don't think you're going to see that. It takes a lot to make that call.
Yeah, and there we are. We were both in the locker room when we were watching that. When the Packers reacted right. because they all knew that M.D. Jennings had the ball. There's C.J. Wilson. I mean, a couple of guys were there. I mean, I've never seen anything like that in the locker room.
It was unbelievable because we talked to some players in the locker room first, and they knew it was something crazy. They knew that something big happened, and they lost this gut-wrenching game. But they didn't know how controversial it was till they saw that. And then that's when you have a lot of the reaction that you heard in the papers and on Twitter from players.
Yeah, and, you know, coming up, you know, after the break, we'll talk about some of the tweets that were sent out by some of mm-hmm. the Packers that really alarmed everyone. I mean, right. tweets are millions and millions and millions of tweets going out. All right, he's Tyler Dunn. We're going to have more for you coming up right after this break. And welcome back to Inside Lambeau. I'm your host, Rod Burks, alongside Tyler Dunn of the Journal Sentinel. Let's get back to that Monday night fiasco.
Yeah.
How about the players like T.J. Lang and Josh Sitton taking a stand, sending out major, major tweets? I don't know about some of the expletives that were
right.
in there, but I mean, what did that do to the league?
You know, I talked to T.J. Lang a little bit about that the next morning, and what he told me was the players talked on the team bus that they had to do something. They were angry, they were frustrated, they were bitter, and they wanted to take action because they know that this isn't an isolated example with the replacement refs, and they wanted to make a statement. So that's what T.J. Lang did. He sent out a trio of tweets that spread like wildfire, and I think that's what they were hoping for there.
I got a feeling he's going to pick up some more followers. Now, how about, let's talk about that offensive line in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was unbelievable to give up 8 sacks. Aaron Rodgers may have held on the ball a little bit on some plays, but sometimes guys were just getting beat. Guys like Brian Bulaga, yeah. Marshall Newhouse. I mean, they got to get better.
Yeah, the most sacks they've ever given up in a game is 11, and that was in 1965. They gave up 8 in one half against the Seattle Seahawks, so some major problems on the offensive line. And like you said, it's really a compilation of a lot of things. Aaron Rodgers held on to the ball too long at times. The Seattle Seahawks did a great job of covering Green Bay's receivers. There weren't a lot of passing windows. And then Brian Bulaga, here's a guy who gave up 1.5 sacks all of last season, gives up 2 to a rookie, Bruce Irvin, in the first quarter. So some big-time problems for the line.
I was really surprised at how he played because when he came in as a rookie, he played pretty well for the Packers. Were you surprised at how he failed in that game?
You know, I guess when it rains, it pours. I mean, I was really surprised. He's been their best offensive lineman, at least in pass protection, at right tackle. And really, they could move him to the left side, but they figured this year, leave him on the right. That's where he's comfortable. If it's broke, don't fix it. Really rough night for him.
Yeah, but the Packers, a lot of pass plays in the first half. Wasn't working for him. They turned it a run. Mm-hmm. How surprised were you at that? Because Mike McCarthy said, he said, maybe we should get the run going a little bit, right?
Yeah, he didn't adjust quick enough. And I think that we're talking about this final play a lot, but the Packers' offense has a lot of problems to deal with, and that's one of them is what's their identity. Last year, obviously, they're a pass-first team. They're going to spread the field with multiple receivers. This year, with the way defenses are playing them, with the way they're a little out of sync, I think you have to lean on Cedric Benson. They didn't do that in the first half. 2 carries for Cedric Benson. They got him going in the third quarter, and they moved the ball. Three long drives.
Right.
I mean, for them to score this year, right now, they have to be patient and put together those 10, 11, 12-play drives.
You think that now that we got to run the ball, do you think you may see Cedric Benson getting more opportunities early in the game coming up against the Saints?
I think you should. I think you have to. I mean, this is a zone-blocking scheme where you get more comfortable, you get more in line with your offensive line as the game progresses. He needs more touches.
How long do you think this loss is going to linger for these guys? I mean, to lose the way that they lost, you know, on national TV. They always say we're moving on to the Saints, it's coming in. But
we know these guys pretty well. It's still hurting these guys.
It's going to sting. I mean, these guys are realists. There's only 16 games in the NFL schedule. This loss can definitely come back to bite you. They understand the ramifications of that. So, yeah, I think it's going to last here a long time. You look in the past at a lot of teams who have dealt with a crushing regular season loss like this. It did have an effect. We'll see what happens. They have to bounce back pretty quick against the New Orleans Saints team. They're going to have no sympathy. They're 0-3 themselves. They're going to come into Lambeau Field guns a-blazing.
Hey, you know, I like that, guns a-blazing. And I think a lot of people realize how important Tom Crabtree is in this offense. That guy's usually back there. He's helping block, helping pick up protection. They really need this guy to be healthy.
When they really got going on offense is when they were using multiple tight ends. They had JerMichael Finley. They had DJ Williams out there, Ryan Taylor. They need Crabtree back because he's basically a fullback, another blocker. If you're going to get that ground game going, you need all your horses.
Tyler Dunn bringing it as always. And I also have a message for you. The Packers Women's Association will be holding the 26th annual food drive this Sunday. Fans can bring non-perishable foods or cash donations to the Packers wives in the parking lot at the gates before Sunday's game against the Saints. He's Tyler Dunn, and I'm Rod Burke. You had a great show, and we want to see you back here next week. We're out.